Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
That boy gonna win everything next year. I'm just gonna tell it right now. Like, that dude gonna win it all. That dude riding. I like the E riding. It's a transformation. Like, I see it in his riding style. And actually looks, he even looks different as he rides. Yeah, when you're in a position like Chase, his only goal is to beat Jet. That's his only goal. I don't even think he cares if they finish 39th and 40th. I really don't. As long as he finished 39th and they beat him. So when he goes, how the hell you can win like 2-2 for 1? It's like a BOGO special, 2-for-1 special. What's up, guys? You know who it is, your boy JS7. And you know where we at? We're at the Rewind Show, baby. Round 27 AMA Motocross from Butts Creek, Maryland. Only 4 motos left up until then. Last weekend, we saw the rookie, Jet Lawrence. He ain't no rookie. Wrap up the championship.
Yeah, I haven't even dreamed of this because we never thought it was possible to be where we are today.
But does that open the door for a guy like Chase Sexton? We saw Dylan Ferrandez back. It got close. And in the 250 class, hey, all the things that changed, but they remain the same. You got Hunter Lawrence seizing that points gap. So dominant. Failed to win the overall and didn't even win moto. Hayden Deegan, would he bounce back after having a DNF and a bad moto? So you know what we got to do, people? Hanging with Mr. Cooper. Will he be here? Well, let's figure it out. Let's get into it. Butts Creek, one of the best tracks on the circuit, just like Millville and Red Butt. All the riders look forward to coming to Butts Creek. It's always, you know, if it doesn't rain, usually it's kind of hot because it sits down in the valley. You get a lot of humidity, but I don't think the heat was a big part. But the track layout was pretty good. It is one of those tracks that I think is one of the best dirts on the circuit, even better than Red Butt. I think Red Butt's track layout's a little bit better, but Butts Creek, the dirt's really good. It's kind of used to everybody here in Florida, all the guys. It's like not sandy, not clay, it's a little bit of everything, but ultimate Butts Creek is Butts Creek. We got the famous Henry Hill where he overjumped it, goes down. But the track is, it's a little hard to pass on. It is one of those tracks that if you get a bad start, it's kind of hard to catch up. And one of the things that we wanted to figure out this year was Jet Lawrence. If he got a bad start or a decent start, would he be able to come up? Well, at Butts Creek on a track that is hard to pass and trying to figure it out, we got our answer. But overall, track was good. Riders looked like they enjoyed it, had some multiple lines. So we had some good racing, especially in that 250 class. And we had a little shakeup. Last weekend, we had Hay Deegan's bike blew up. That was a big championship. The way that kid rode at Washougal, then have that, it was kind of a bummer. And then so almost like Hunter Lawrence, when we had him go down at Red Butt, second moto, and then to show up the next moto, the first moto at Southwick, bike blew up. It's like dominoes. Like one thing happens and another. Well, Hayden Deegan had the bike blow up, and then he had an off moto that second moto at Unadilla. Bad start, just kind of being bummed. And then coming to this, Hayden looked dominant. When I said, like, this is one of those races that you remember, and I think that's going to change that kid's career and moving forward. Well, look at Hayden Deegan prior to that second moto of Washougal. Look at how he's riding in and look at him now. Kid was out front dominating 15 minutes into it. Normally, we're looking for the Geico insurance, trying to save 15% on insurance. Next thing you know, we get a red flag and then all hell breaks loose. Now, when the red flag comes out, all the riders, they know that, look, somebody's hurt. I mean, if you're out front, you get bummed like at the first instance, but you know, at the end of the day, like there's a reason for it. So you initially cool down. But I think in this position, nobody's ever been in that long. Like, I don't remember seeing a red flag or restart that late into the moto, almost being halfway. And I believe it's like another 5 minutes, that race would have been ended. So I know the riders probably went back and they probably initially thought, okay, if I'm Hayden Deegan, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling dangerous. I am dangerous. I'm dominating these fools. I'm going to be out front. They're going to stag and start us. Then no one knew. Like, you could tell the guys, they started walking back up to the gate. Mechanics started picking the gate. Because normally, if you're going to restart the race, they're going to and line you guys back up. You just go back to the gate where you were. Well, in this position, they restarted it, but they made the guys pick based off of what the lap was before. So the guys going back to the gate, they start picking it. And then the riders like had to realize, and the mechanics, they were like, no, you got to change position. So there was a lot of stuff that was happening. And I think at that point, then the frustrating, if I'm Hayden Deegan, comes in, because now it's like, I'm getting to pick a gate first, but I've already basically been in this moto 15 minutes. I'm gone. There's like none of it really happened. So for him, we look at this Monday quarterbacking, because now we fast forward a couple minutes later, he goes down to the first corner. So he goes from being out front, was going to win that moto. There's no question that kid was on it. He's riding best he did all year long, to now down on the first corner. And since we talked about the first corner off the restart, it looks like when you first see it on TV, and a lot of people think that Hayden was upset and he went in the first corner too hot. I mean, hot, like RJ, hot. RJ, hope you're feeling better. Got neck brace off. Hope you're feeling better. But he went in hot like New Jersey, like RJ. And he could have. But also, there's a flip side. I don't think Hayden, he probably was frustrated, but there's a point where all these riders, and I even said this with Vince Freeze, the guy might be like, you know, dirty, but he ain't like crazy, you know, and he ain't stupid. You know, we could do crazy things, but we ain't dumb. You know, where the Christian Craig and Vince Freeze passed. Well, I feel like with Hayden Deegan on this, I believe he got a jump, and he beat everybody on the inside of him, or I guess on the outside of him. But what happens is Tom Vial gets a great jump. And if you look at it, Tom Vial got a jump. When you ever see guys in the first corner that has like a big cap, like if you hold shot right off the jump and you already know you got it, usually those guys start breaking a lot earlier than like normal compared to if they had to race somebody in here. And so I'm just being devil's advocate on Hayden. I think once he beat those guys on the inside, the fact is Tom was out front of him and he starts slowing down earlier than he was if he had to race somebody. Hayden came in there way too hot for that, not thinking that Tom was going to be slowing down as much, and slams into him and the things down. The reason I say that, because otherwise it's stupid, like it's dangerous. And I don't think Hayden is stupid or dangerous, even though he be feeling dangerous. So look, the kid's 17 years old. Like, if he was upset on it, then look, he was upset and he did something very dumb, and I'll say stupid, but just dangerous for him. And I don't feel like Hayden has showed me anything like that and that would do it. Again, he could have done that, and if he did, then he'll learn his lesson. I guarantee it wouldn't happen. But just knowing the fact that when you look at that line, and if you even look at it, just for the angle, the inside, they had to go back out towards the right more. And not only that, they had it lined off with the Yamaha banners, I believe it was. Inside of the Yamaha banners, there was another marker on that track. So when you're coming off the gate, all you see is those banners, and you think that's like the outline of the racetrack, not thinking that, look, there's a berm down here that's another foot or 2 feet even farther. So if I'm just running down those bales, I'm going to run off the track and end up crashing over that. So I think there's a lot of things that I could say that move from Hayden was more of, look, maybe some frustration of wanting to be up there, but I don't think it wasn't like he's just upset that there was a red flag and that I just went in here with no authority that I'm going to clean out the field. I just don't believe that's the way it happens. And looking at some of the other things and being a racer and knowing that if you go back and look at guys who clearly have hole shots like Tom did, they stop earlier because they don't have, it's almost like they lose their depth perception of where they need a break at. And they stop earlier and then you have this incident. So nonetheless, Hayden was on the ground and he got very lucky that, you know, it wasn't a lot worse than what it was because that was a dangerous move. But I just don't feel like that was just he didn't think and he just went in just kind of like what we talked about with Vince Freeze and the circumstance. So only Hayden to know. And that was it. He was on the ground. But it looks like there's explanations that I feel like I can say, but I could be wrong. But I don't think I am. But we'll see. Justin Cooper. Second moto last weekend was dominant. It was dominant. And I said out of all year long, one thing in racing you got to have, and if you have it, you always have a chance, and that's speed. And Justin Cooper has speed. And when he's on, like, he can run with anybody, anyone. He can beat all those guys. We just been waiting for him. There's a start issue and then other issues. Hey, D, breaking him. But nonetheless, like, he always had speed. So we knew when he was on, he can run like he did at second moto. Well, he pulled the steering stabilizer, whatever you want to call, like, you know, cruise control on that thing last week. And then he was dominant. So this weekend coming in, he was the closest person to Hunter. And I said, like, well, at the end of the day, like, if he ends up winning this championship, we'd be like shocked. But then you'd be like, well, I mean, yeah, he didn't. Like, our standards for Justin, when we see him ride like he did, even this the first moto and then last moto, you just expect the guy he like to be winning more races. And the fact is, he hasn't won an overall since he hasn't won an overall. Like, and that was a long time ago, it seems like. So with Justin Cooper, he came in, he went on the inside, he went bam, you know, like hit a phone call, bam, he did that.
Cooper third. Oh, Cooper punts Hunter Lawrence to take second.
I love it. Championship time.
And then he came in, and then Hunter Lawrence was like, yo, it puts him in a weird spot because the guy closest to you in the title, the only shot he really has to beat you is by going in there and bamming you. So it almost makes it hard for you to fight back. Like, what do you do? You know he's going to do it, and he hits you. You're like, I didn't, you know, is this worth these 3 points or not? The fact is, Justin Cooper hit you. And I will say this, it's kind of weird, like, when a guy who doesn't like really dirty and the guys that like really don't hit people, when they do hit it, like, he knows that's the only chance he's got to take them. You get really worried about those type of guys because they ain't used to hitting you. So I feel like it's like when I took out Villopoto in 2011, like, yeah, I knocked some people down before, but I wasn't really that guy that just, like, I wasn't like Barsha. I didn't have it down. So when I went in to go hit Villo, I went in, I was like, yeah, like, ah.
No, no, she wasn't ready.
And that's what it was, because I was like, what am I doing? I don't want to hit him, but I hit him, and we both fell. So I feel like with Hunter, it'd be different if he was like, hey, Deacon, you just know, like, you know you're going to get it, you know, or some other guys. But with Justin, you're like, damn, he just hit me. Should I attack him back? This dude might kill all of us out here. Like, I don't even think he knows, but the only way he's going to beat me is by doing that. So it put Hunter in a spot where, you know, he did good. He wrote. And then he comes up on the podium and he says, I really believe what he thinks. Like, I mean, yeah, it's a hard track to pass. So to pass somebody, you got to maybe move him out the way. And the fact that Justin Cooper is second, I expect him to try to move me out the way. And he did. And that was it.
But yeah, he snuck up the inside of me just up here, and it's a tough track to pass on. So passes like that are just kind of how it happens on this track when it's really one line.
And it sounds like you're just like dodging the question, but I really do believe that's the way you feel. And Justin Cooper is saying, like, hey, I just need to get a better start. I got lucky with that one. And even his emphasis on what he did wasn't even emphasis on what he did. Like, he didn't go like, yeah, I'm going to do that next moto. I'm going to do that next moto. He's just like, I just need to get a better start. So I don't have to do that because it makes me feel uncomfortable. But nonetheless, he was able to win the moto. And then Hunter came back the next moto and seized control. And Hayden Deegan going from 9 seconds out front, I just feel like, just like last weekend at second moto, the kid came back to 16th. But I think if he was on form And maybe it's only 15 minutes. So I got to think about that. He only had 15 minutes to do what he had to do. And Busch Creek's a tough track to pass on. So maybe that 16th was actually the way he was riding. But I just feel like it's been such a letdown, you know, for him. Like, he's so close. And in a scenario, like, he hasn't done anything wrong to lose these points. I would say the first thing he's done wrong was that restart. That would be the one that'd be like, that was your fault, son. You know, even your reasons. And I don't think you went in there crazy, but that was on you. But the bike blowing up, even the second motor last weekend, look, the kid was right there in the points. He's got a bad start. And Unadilla is like the worst place you could get a bad gate pick. It was all going negative, and he rode around and he got a position. So getting 16th place, I feel like there's a little bit of like letdown for him. But I'm going to tell you this, and then we're going to move on. That boy going to win everything next year. I'm just going to tell it right now. Like, that dude going to win it all. That dude riding. He riding. It's a transformation. Like, I see it in his riding style. And it actually looks different as he rides. Like, he looks, like, different. I don't know what it is, but I know what it is. And I just know I'm predicting the future. He can whoop all y'all ass. I'm just telling y'all what it is. That's what he's going to do. But, you know, I could be wrong. Like I was saying, Colt 45 was going to get a podium. I wasn't right on that one. But I feel like we all see what we're watching. And the fact is, when he's up front, the difference what I see is that he goes to the front normally, that he feels like he belongs. And when guys feel like they belong, they'll start getting good starts. They'll make their way up there. And I believe him when he went down that 15 minutes, like, he believes that he should be up front. Like, nobody's in his way. He was a little wrong on that one. But he just rides with, I'm here. And I don't think anybody, like, if he rides like that, I don't think anybody can beat him. Like, I don't even think Hunter would actually be able to pass him, especially in this circumstance. I don't think Justin Cooper would. They just know, and Hayden's riding at that level, that we see it. And that was all that 5 minutes from going on the outside. We just seen it all built. So that was it. We're talking about a guy that got 16th in a moto, and I don't even know what he ended up overall, but we see what we see, and he's going to be pretty good. So next year, it's going to be on for him, even doing the playoffs.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
I just like what I see from the kid. And Justin Cooper, I feel like that second moto was like your opportunity, like, to maybe do something. And I think the fact that Hunter was able to be right in front of you and basically stay in front and pull that gap, and you really couldn't do anything. I know it was close at the end, but you just feel like, all right, if you did what you did that first moto and came back and bounced it, then that's three motos in a row. If he was able to win that second moto, it wouldn't be 22, it'd be 16 points. And who knows? Like, look, Hunter gets 2 third places, you win both motos, that's 10 points right there. So now you just got to figure out 6 points. And the way this 250 class is, it looks like it could possibly happen. Now it's back up to 22. So not only that, I just think the momentum, what Justin Cooper could have done was, you know, like, basically have Hunter at least thinking about him, like, during the week. The fact is, Hunter was able to go back, just beat him straight up. Justin rode good, just didn't ride as good enough. And I think that's more, instead of let's talking about what Justin didn't do, let's talk about what Hunter did. Because Hunter showed up, and he didn't need to do that. Like, he still has 16 points. It's still 16 points. But I think he knows, and when you got guys in championship, and the reason I said a couple weeks ago, and even last week's show, that Hunter, what Hayden was able to do, it wouldn't affect Hunter because of his mindset. And I think the fact is, Hunter went out there and executed it and wanted to win that race. You heard what he said on the podium. Like, well, yeah, I expect, like, he's going to come in and bump me. I expect that. Track's tough. That's why he's able to go out and win the next moto. And what Hay did a few weeks ago, it wouldn't affect him. That mindset is allowing Hunter and all the injuries and all the past to be back at this at the top. It's just, it looks like we got a rider who's clearly focused on doing what they needed to do. And he went in there thinking that, look, instead of worrying about what could happen, I'm going to worry about what can happen. And me going out here winning this race can happen if I focus on that. And so I don't feel like he rides of the what could anymore, because everything that could happen, it already happened. So you just keep going out there doing what he's doing. And the kid was dominant. He did what he needed to do. Justin Cooper was right there. He rode good, but didn't good enough. And Hunter is bouncing back. And that's 2 weekends in a row, people. That's two weekends in a row. We can sit here and talk about the bike, how the bike looked. We can sit here and talk about the stabilizer that wasn't there or was there. Justin Cooper going and bam. Or we can talk about Hayden Deegan being out front by 9 seconds and then he taking everybody out in first corner. We can talk about all that. But we ain't. Why? Because just like last weekend, he won in a different way this weekend. He actually got a moto victory. And they red flagged it. You can say whatever you want to say. But he actually won a race this weekend. Last weekend was, I feel like, even more dominant. How the hell you can win like 2-2-for-1? It's like a BOGO special, 2-for-1 special. And that's what Hunter had. But this weekend, he was able to execute because he's watching his younger brother go out there and have to fend off Chase Sexton, which we'll talk about in a second. And what he's going to get is another one. And I think he only wants one more of these things, or maybe not even one more. He just wants the big one. And Hunter, what do you get for him? Hit it for Cole.
Suntan. Neck's on fire.
Neck burn. Neck burn. There you go. I think Cole's trying to change the lights behind me. Can't change the lights. I don't know. Are they flashing? Now they're flashing. I'm going to take his word for it. Flew, flew. Hunter Lawrence, that was for you. We brought in the new lights for you. We had to show it up. Because why? We had to, what? I have Google say it. What is it? Penultimate brown, whatever. I think I did say it. Like that. You need that Paul Malin. What's his name?
Malin.
He says it, right? He says it. So well, maybe I have to put his voice in. But nonetheless, we had to, what is it? Google said
penultimate
round. And then there we go. Hit a phone call. Anyways, we ain't ready for it, but we got the lights for you. So that was it on the 250 class. We only got one more moto or one more race left, two more motos, and your boy will be at that one calling that. So Ironman, here we come. See if we can wrap this thing up. Now the 450 class. Now the championship's wrapped up. It could go one of two ways. Either Jet Lawrence can continue what we hear. I'm all about chips. You know, and that's it. That's my main focus. And then we can allow Dylan Ferrandis. We saw him show up last weekend, coming off that momentum. Chase Sexton was riding better. Would he be laxed? And if he's focused about championship, maybe he wouldn't be so focused of in trying to win the races and focus. But you heard him. He said, I want to win. I want to win. I believe he said that, or I was dreaming that he said that, but I know he means that. The kid wants to win. So one of two things going to happen. Either he was going to be, look, I'm focused in on for the playoffs and I'm going to try to win. I'm going to try to do my best. But if things don't work out, like getting a bad start, I'm not going to push it. Or I'm going to show you the real me. And I'm going to come up through the pack because I'm a killer and I love to win. I hate losing more and I love to win. Like, it's a fact. And so we were waiting for him. He got a bad start that first moto. And he had pretty much all the guys in front of him, including Chase Sexton and Dylan Ferrandis. I believe he passed both of them. Where Chase goes down, if you look at it, I'm going to go on the fact that I'm going to take out a limb. I think Chase was going to take his ass out. I really do. Like, the line, if you look at it. So they're in the beginning part of the race. And this is where I feel like where we talk about Jet and knowing other riders and knowing what needs to be done. Like every race you go to it, I want a whole shot and run away from you guys. That's the plan. But if that doesn't happen, then there's things that you got to execute. And I feel like Jet Lawrence, he knows there's a couple things that needs to happen. I want to be in front of Chase Sexton and Dylan Ferrandis. Let's just say that. And I want to get out and start and I want to stay up on the first lap. Those are my main goals. That's what I need to accomplish by the first lap, even if we're in 30th, you know, or whatever it is. As long as I'm in front of Chase, I feel like I can run these other guys down. Chase, he hasn't been in front of me, so that's another scenario I don't know. So in that first moto, Jet passes Chase right off the jump. Like Chase is in front of him, Jet passes him. And pretty much if you look at history, past history, the race is over, right? The race is over. Nobody passes him. They can't figure out how to pass him. You can catch up and they can't pass him. And Chase has been doing that a lot this year. So when he does pass him, he just knows that, like, that's pretty much most of the time that's game over. Because I believe, one, if I pass them, they got to catch me. And if they do catch me, they got to figure out how to pass me. And none of them have figured that part out. So when he does pass him, they didn't really show Chase. They showed him falling a few times. But then if you look back, there's a part where you're going in and the section right before you drop down into the back where they showed Chase crash. Now, if you look at Jet Lawrence, like he's on the outside, he's on the outside to the inside, but he ends up moving to the outside. And at that point, Chase is on the outside of him. I think Chase squared that thing up and was going for the pass and ended up like losing it and tucking the front and going down because he just makes a quick left at no point. He was on the outside. And when Jet went to the outside, he saw an opportunity in the opportunity. And it's in one of the sections that you notice we didn't have that many cameras back there where the old Barsha and Ferrandez incident went down. And the only way we saw that was because we had the GoPro. That's one of the areas they just knocked down. You know what I mean? Like Malcolm took me out in another section where they just like, ain't no fans out there. Well, it looks like Chase was going in and taking a kill. Otherwise, he just had a tough moto because he was over jumping stuff. He was losing the front end. And I know it's frustrating for him because when you're in a position like Chase, his only goal is to beat Jet. That's his only goal. I don't even think he cares if they finish 39th and 40th. I really don't. As long as he finished 39th and they beat him. So when he goes down in the beginning part of the race, that's it. Like, he's like, all right, whatever. Like, he knows there's no way I'm coming from the back and coming up. He rode good last year. He came from the back up there. But he knows he ain't going to beat Jet Lawrence. It's a difference, like how you fell in that second moto. Like, I fell. I'm still in second. Maybe I can put in the last push what he did. But I think all the other mistakes, his came from frustration because he went down and the race is over for him. And he ain't out there racing for anything else besides beating Jet Lawrence, because we all know he's fast. And we all know, like, he's somewhat proven something. Jet knows he's fast. But the one thing he needs to do is beat him. Hell, pass him. He needs to do that. So he goes down to the beginning part of the race. I think he just, it's over for him. Not saying he ain't trying, but it just makes sense why he'll make more mistakes, because I think that frustration of knowing that he doesn't have a chance to beat Jet, and that's why he's here. I don't think he cares about getting up to like fifth. I don't think he cares about that. Like, he ain't in it for the points. He's got that. He's going to go in the playoffs, people, with the lead. So what is he really racing for? Pride, trying to show up for next year. So he makes a lot of mistakes the first moto, and I think it's key because he comes in the second moto and he says, yeah, I felt pretty good all day. It was just frustrating. He kept making mistakes, but the bike was working good. I felt pretty good. And he still didn't beat him.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
I think for next week, it might be on. I really do. It is a hometown race. It's the last chance that he's going to do it. And I don't think none of them want to go out like that. Like RC said, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Even though, like, I kind of went through that one time. You know, I think they, like, when RC did it in 05, when he went undefeated without going undefeated with all the motos, like, there was no point where I felt like I had a chance. Really, like, I was on the two-stroke 450. I ain't talking about none of that, but you know what it is. Well, I feel like Chase, he still feels like he's better than Jet. And I'm going to clear this up. Last weekend, I was talking about, and a few weekends now, I said, Chase is faster than Jet. Chase is faster than Jet. And some people don't understand what I'm saying. It's like the turtle and the hare, right? Like, the rabbit's always faster, but he loses race all the time. Like, it's always faster. And so when we talked about last weekend, segment times, because that's what I mean. You know, Chase Sexton goes in sections faster. When you add up Chase's lap time, like if you take his best segments, a lot of times, like, he's faster, you know, or really close to Jet. And so he's actually going faster. The difference is that by doing that, and that's why I feel like Jet understands his competition. What Jet's doing is going, I wouldn't say slower, but Jet doesn't go in stuff faster. So overall, when you have a long motocross track, it's a lot easier to make a lot of mistakes. And because you go fast, if you ever execute that lap and get through it, then you will be faster. But the likelihood of being able to go that fast and be able to do it without making a mistake in the whole lap is tough. And I think that's where Chase is. When I say Chase is faster, is because he actually is faster. His segment times, even this weekend, there was 3 out of 5 segments that Chase was faster, but his overall lap times, he was not faster than Jet. But if you put in the ideal segment on putting each one, Chase was like a half second faster. So it's hard for Chase to put all those segments together in one lap, which ultimately, by the proof in the pudding, is watch how quickly Chase catches Jet. That's how you know. Like, it's, if somebody's not faster, they don't catch you, right? They don't catch you. But when you look at, like, well, how is he catching them but not being able to pass them? That's where I go back to, is being able to put that the whole track together. And like this weekend, again, Chase was faster 3 out of 5 segments than Jet. He was faster than him. And ultimately, at the end of the day, Jet had a fast lap time that second moto. Like, had a fast lap time. If you put the ideal together, Chase was a half second quicker. And that's been like that a few races. But in Moto 2, we're talking about Moto 2. Moto 1, he was falling. He's falling, can't get up. He's falling. But we already just explained that. So overall, I think people misunderstand, is like, how can you say somebody's faster when the lap time is not? So we look down, Chase catches him. He catches him pretty quick. And that's your evidence of watching somebody go faster. Like, why is he faster but can't do it? Case in point, when he goes down, right? He makes a mistake. He's got a little bit of gap. But Chase catches Jet really quickly. And I said last weekend, catching somebody and passing somebody else is different. Chase has to figure out how to pass him. But I think technique-wise, we saw last weekend, Chase, when he was a little bit farther behind Jet, like a second, second and a half, he was doing some technical stuff that was pretty legit. Same, and when he does that, dude's fast. Like, he's pretty good. So this weekend, it was kind of the same thing. Once he got really close to Jet, we get over to Henry Hill, you can tell that, look, he felt like that opportunity. I just caught him, and I don't want to keep following this dude. Jet goes to the outside because he ain't really worried about Chase passing him. And ultimately, at the outside, even if Chase gets close to him and even with him, Jet's going to be on the inside. So Chase sees him go to the outside. He feels like he can run down that inside, maybe get next to him, cut him off. Well, as you see him going down, I think this is where Chase sometimes forgets about, like, what he's doing and almost what he did to get there. As you can tell, he's going down Henry Hill. He got his legs open. He's wide open. And riding a motorcycle, we know, like, you're going downhill. If you're not holding on with your lower part of your body, what happens? The only way you cannot move forward is by extending your arms and locking it. And as you can see, when Chase goes down, he hits that inside hump. His whole body, like, it collapses. Like, he moves forward. The feet are off, like, he's not connected to it. And then when he goes over that, he's leaning forward. And I think that's where his then he lands. He's on the front, and I think he was in neutral, or pretty much, because he couldn't do anything. And all that was dictated because I think he was so close to Jet. And just like we say, you come out the corner, like, when you're behind a guy, they break. You break a little bit less so you can get closer. But sometimes when they're coming out of the corner, sometimes you get a little happy and you try to get on the gas and you spin out. It's got to be patient. Well, I think Chase saw that opportunity to get even closer to Jet. So he ran in, forks are full on bottomed out, arms are locked out, and you could just see him, like, his whole body, his butt, legs, they all come up. His bike doesn't, and then he's up on the front. And I think that's a lot of comes from just, I guess, getting so close, and you kind of forgetting, like, I just want to get right there, and you forget what you're doing. Now, keep in mind, that section was tough. I've seen a lot of guys not go down there, but it was a pretty rough section. But nonetheless, if you start looking at all the crashes, even with Chase going over to berm, even when Chase, fell over when he was actually trying to pass Jet early in the Moto 1, they all kind of look the same. They all look the same. And when I just see Chase, when he's locked in, like, literally locked in, the dude, like, he's pretty legit.
That was legitness.
Yeah.
And then when he has the same, like, all the crashes, they kind of end up. And before, I'm not crushing Chase. I think we sit here and almost feel, I wouldn't say feel bad, but when you hear people talk and they go like, what? Like they're shocked, but they ain't shocked that it happens. And then you're like saying, man, like it just seems like he should be aware that this is going to happen. Like it's like, he keeps doing the same thing over and over and over, and he's not knowing why he's doing it. And so it makes you think like, well, I mean, what the hell are you out there doing? And I think a lot of that comes from just as a racer, it is hard to change in a race. And when you get close in this racing situation and you want to beat somebody so bad, sometimes you just forget and you go to the racer side and you end up making a mistake and going down. And it just looks like you just don't know what the hell you're doing. But I do feel like Chase is changing. I do feel like he's trying, and there's things that I see him doing that's improvement. It's just hard to ask a guy to want change. And you got to give him credit for, like, I would say owning up to it without owning up to it. Like he does say, I am changing some things with myself. And there was parts of the racetrack he looks different, but you got to give him credit for doing that. But it is hard to think that a guy in this position racing can be able to change that and be so locked in that it becomes second nature. And I think when he gets close to Jet, and when things get all a little crazy and he's not able to just think about that, that's when the part or reps and over time he'll be able to just lock in. And maybe you don't have that scenario. He gets focused in on trying to pass, and then a mistake happens, and then we're sitting here talking about like, damn, he did the same thing again. You know, like what is he out there thinking? So it's a tough situation. It's a situation that, I mean, he put himself into. I mean, the only person that can change is him, and I feel like he's trying to do that. But just like Hayden Deegan off the start, like, I don't feel like I'm watching Chase and like, goddamn, like, you gotta keep doing the same thing. I mean, in Supercross, I was like, damn, you gotta keep doing the same thing. But I do feel like he is getting better. He is trying. And, you know, he's coming up against a dude that just know what to do. Like, I mean, that dude's just a dude. And that dude wants to beat him, and he wants to beat them. And I think overall, like, you gotta give Chase credit because he's out there fighting. And I thought my boy Dylan Ferrandis, he was rolling. Dude looked good. Like, he was looking good. And he got stuck behind Nicoletti that first moto. I know he was sick. I know he was sick and tired of being roosted by him. But just like Jet did to Chase, Jet passed him as well. So Dylan Ferrandis, I think he was almost, if not the fastest, or pretty damn close to Jet that first moto. And I thought there was a point where he was able to come up and pass Jet, because he actually was running the same lap times as Jet. He just got stuck behind Nicoletti, and I think that was the difference. Jet executes and gets stuff done because he knows this is what needs to be done. And especially when you look at how Jet passed Chase at Southwick and even a couple other guys, he passes those guys instantly because he knows, I do not want them in front of me. But then when he gets up to some of these other guys, he takes his time. Like, he lets it happen. That, to me, is somebody who understands what he needs to understand. And I just see Dylan Ferrandis. He was sick, but he rode pretty good. And then Chase Sexton, they're just losing the battle off the beginning part. But back to Chase. Hey, shit happens, right? Tuck a front end, something. He ain't tuck a front end. Did he tuck a front end? No, he just hit neutral. He hit neutral. Like, he was like, it's almost like this. It's like he's there. And then, like, Jet's doing his thing, and he's just riding around, like, standing up, hyping, hopping, and doing all this stuff. And Chase is, like, right there. And then he just stops. Like, he just hits neutral. Like, it just all stopped. You can get close to me, and I'm just put it out like the Matrix. Like, and he stops. And there ain't nothing you can do. And the reason I bring that up, people, because we've been talking about, like, what if this could happen? And what if this could happen? And we 20 motos deep into this. And the only thing that keeps happening is that he keeps winning. That's it. Like, could he get a bad start? Oh, he got a bad start, and he was able to pass him. But, hey, I think Jet's been doing the same thing he's been doing the whole time, and that's pretty simple. He's just been winning. I don't care. Since German Chocolate is the only time that he had to think about, maybe should I get vanilla today? I don't know. But Chase Sexton, Dylan Ferrandis, they doing their thing. They doing their thing. Adam Cincerella, Adam's looking better. Anderson, Kawasaki look good, baby. Look good. All these cats look good. But unfortunately for them, they just running against a guy that's better. And better, and he believes it's better, and it smells like trouble. When we watch Hayden Deegan in that 250 class, and you're like, oh damn, that baby's born, and he ain't, like, it's here, it popped out, can't do nothing, it's here, gotta raise it. That's what we're watching with Jet Lawrence. You gotta raise it, and what he keeps raising is this. Hit it for him, Cole, please.
Suntan Next on Fire.
Jet for president. I see the sign. It's Joe time. I didn't say that, but they quoted me for saying that, so I'm going to take it anyway. Jet for president. But people, he can't be president. He's not American. Yeah, but he's our brother. He's our brother. Can an Australian be a president?
If he's a citizen.
He's a citizen, right? Are you a citizen of America? Should we pull up your birthright card? Should we Obama you? Anyways, Jet for president. He should be president. Kid looking good up there, coming out, pulling his shirt off, like buffing up on these joints. His brother's like, damn, he just, what do you ever, just pass me, just stuff me, whatever. What do you expect? Jet's like, huh. Yeah, all I do is win. So Jet Lawrence, congratulations. You are a citizen of the show. You a citizen of America, whatever it is. Jet for president. All right, people, that was it from that. There's your winner. Both brothers, damn it. They just be winning. They win out. You know what to talk about. So you know what we got to do. My favorite part, your favorite part. Stews and Stews. Oakley Stews and Stews. We'll be right back. My lips are stuck.
They say an object in motion tends to stay in motion. We test that idea on a daily basis. Motion and experimentation. Motors and manpower. We continue to evolve and thrive. So whether you climb or cross over, find your own line, or pin it wide open, as long as you're moving in a way that gives you what you need, we'll be here for you.
All right, people, you know what time it is. My favorite time, your favorite time, Oakley's Student Stew. Now, like we do every weekend, and Cole's flashing the lights, and he better not get them red and blue lights because I ain't trying to go to jail today, and that would be, I'd be stewed. But we here on the stew. We're going to do what we always do. We're going to start where we start. A stew. What is that? A guy that's literally, I mean, we already 27 races into it. Should I have to explain this to you? Should I have to explain? But I'm going to do it because we always get new viewers. Again, a Stu, this guy that just does it better than everybody else. Stu, it's a good looking Stu. Whatever it is, Brahma Stu, Beef Stu, whatever Stu, a guy that just wins, he's a Stu. So of course, 250s, they back first. And just like he's been getting a lot of them this year, he hasn't gotten a lot of them more than this other guy that's sitting over here that's going to get another Stu. But Hunter Lawrence, you know what you are. Now, last weekend, you went 2-2-1. And I know that sounds like a BOGO special at the grocery store. But to this weekend, you came in, you had, everybody's like, all right, you seize control. You had Justin Cooper pulling the stabilizer or whatever, cruise control off the bike. And he came out dominant, looking pretty good. But you were right there. You knew what you had to do. Levi was out front. He didn't want to get them jeans clean. Like, he didn't want to get them dirty, like, whatever. You came back this weekend, and you just won. You did what you had to do. He had to come in. He bumped you. Hey, what do you expect? Inside, tight track, get bumped. But then the second moto, you come out. You ain't worried about him. Jess Cooper right there. You're like, all right, whatever. I'm just dominate you. And that's what you did. Hey, Deegan was out front. And then they had to red flag it. Then he was out front taking everybody else out. Doesn't bother you. Why? Because you were Stu. You were Stu. And Hunter Lawrence, you a masterclass of Stu. When you need to get it done, you get it done. And that's why you're the red points leader. And you know you had to get it done because this other cat that's so close to you, that's younger than you, that's getting all this flout. They want him the president. What do they want you? Vice secretary, whatever it is. Like, he's the president. And you, your brother, Jet Lawrence. Now, Jet, damn, man, I don't even know what to say. They were talking about how you couldn't come from the back. You did that. They talking about Ken Roczen, he was the only person. Well, I mean, he was, but he ain't show back up. He going to live on that success. Talking about all his stuff. Chase Sexton, James be talking about how he be faster. And he be like, oh, I know he is, but he ain't. He ain't. Dylan Ferrandis comes back. He ain't. I'm the best. And what I've been doing to these cats, nobody's ever seen that before. Nobody's seen, Jay went, he went undefeated before. Ricky went undefeated before, but nobody's done it like I did it. And that's a fact. Nobody's done it like you did it. No Australians ever won undefeated so far. Like, nobody's done. I'm black. There ain't no black man that's ever won undefeated for. Like, yay, whatever it is. Like, Ricky's redhead. I mean, redhead, only two of them. Well, yeah, that's what it is. And I'm sorry, Jet, this ain't that confused segment, but what I'm telling you is that we're watching something special, people. Before y'all even get mad, just shut up. Let me finish. Jet Lawrence, you a stew. I know your last name is Lawrence, but you might as well be Jet Stew because you out here dominant. And just like Bud's Creek with the scrub, you know, 23 anniversary, I don't really get all that stuff. You're just out here dominant. So you had to do it. And you've been doing it all year. And when people thought like you wrapped up that championship, you're going to start thinking about everything else. But what you were doing, you came out focused. And when the bad start, dominating with cats, Chase Sexton, you passed him. And he still can't pass you. He did it. You won again. 20-0. Only two more motos. So we'll see if you get the final stew. But Jet Lawrence, Hunter Lawrence, y'all are stew. Now I'm going to give a couple shout out. Jaleek Swole, dude, look good. Bruh, third place. Jaleek, he swole up on them cats. He was swelling up on there. He fell up for, I don't know what happened second moto. But we talking about the first. So you were good. Austin Faulkner, good to see you back. You ain't let these cats, you out there. You coming back, y'all getting swole up. Y'all swole up. You feeling coming back. Mitch Payton, he's going to boot you out if you didn't do it. Joe Shimoda, you cool. You cool. They're your friends. Take a bitch out. I don't know what it is, but you cool. So y'all all, look. So I give Chase. Hell, you can get a stew, whatever it is. You got out of there. RJ, you a stew? Like, you don't. Hope you're all right. You all right, cool. So those are my real stews. Jet Lawrence, Hunter Lawrence. They y'all stews. Now stew. Pissed off. Pissed off because you're like, damn, I'm just hoping this show is almost done. Pissed off because you know you're going to be up here battling with the minivan moms and I'm going to be back late in the damn 30 for 30 today. It rains here in Florida all day. Pissed off because I'm trying to do the show and Cole's messing with the lights. No, I'm pissed off. Stewed. I'm a stew. I ain't going to be no stew today because I'm still going to make it on time. But you know where that one is. Hayden Deegan, I know you stewed. Why? Because you ain't do nothing wrong. You lost all these points. You ain't do nothing wrong. Yeah, you went in that. You didn't even technically crash in the second moto. You crashed on the second red start flag, which doesn't even make no sense. Like, they should have just staggered started y'all, whatever it is, three laps, no laps. It just ended the damn race because I was so far gone. Nobody was going to beat me anyway. But you came in, and your daddy's sitting there saying, it's the first time. You're like, shut up, Dad. I'm the first time. I'm dominant. But you go out there, and you come in, and Tom Viaja feels like he wants to get the whole shot from hell over here. You know, and then you want to slow down. You're going to run into, and everybody think I'm crazy. I'm crazy. I am crazy. But, hell, I didn't do that crazy stuff. So, I know you're a little stew, but don't be stew, kid. Like, you rode good last weekend, and the last three motos, even though we're talking about a guy who got like 11th place, and then last weekend, I don't even know what you got. For a guy that ain't cracking the top 10, we're talking about you a lot. You've been riding the best you have. Isn't that racing? That's racing. I've been riding the best I have all year long, and I haven't even made it in the top 10. That's racing for you, people. So, hey, Deegan, keep your head up, son. You only got two more motos before you go in the playoffs. We're talking about the playoffs. The playoffs? You're the playoffs. They ain't worried about the playoffs. Yeah. So, that's what we're looking forward to. So, hey, Deegan, you stew, but you shouldn't be stew. You riding pretty good. And I don't know. I got to go. So, I'm going to just cut off the rest of this. I ain't nobody else stew, all right? What? Ain't nobody else stew. Chase stew? Nah, whatever. He ain't stew. Like, he rode pretty good. Like, he didn't ride good. He rode good enough to get second. Then good enough. He got, like, whatever he got the first photo. So, Cole Beach. It's the first time I called your name in a long time. For I know the lane. So, people, that was it from round 27. Well, you saw what you saw again. You saw what you saw last weekend. You saw it previous the weekend before, and you keep damn seeing it. And you got Hunter Lawrence winning his thing. Last race coming up. Two motors left. Will Jet Lawrence stay perfect? Or will another Honda win? Or yeah, whatever. So, we got to figure that out when we figure it out. But that was it from round 27 from Bud's Creek, Maryland, where their people showed up. They showed out. The riders did their best. They had three red starts and...
Wait, so why did you call my name?
I don't know. I don't know why I called your name. Sometimes, like, you know, when people, they got filler words, my filler word is Cole Beach. That's my word. Like, I get nervous, I say Cole Beach. People, when you get nervous, they say Cole Beach. What's that, Cole Beach? I don't know. And why did you, wait, hold up.
You had a pause.
Wait a minute. I didn't wrap this show up. I didn't. And my final stewed is this. I even wrapped this up. That ain't it.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories.
But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.